But if you're, and that goes man or woman. A woman wants to go in, and I've seen it with women going into jail ministry and nursing home ministry or visitation type things. Or one lady I knew used to go around just help elderly people clean their houses and upkeep it. Just go like once a month to help them out and that sort of thing. And married to a guy who's not a Christian or a guy who's carnal, trouble. But as long as you do it in a way that you know is pleasing to the Lord in accordance with His Word. Because the Bible says you obey your husband in the Lord. So if he's telling you not to serve the Lord, he's not commanding you in the Lord. So you do what you got to do. Have you lost relationships with your own children because they follow the world? What do you do? Well, just go ahead and compromise and accommodate their sin, right? That's the answer most parents will give you these days. But if you stand with the Word of God and you just say, listen, not in my house. And that's what you're not telling them. You don't tell them, get out of here, I disown you. You know, or anything like that. But you say, just, you can't bring that stuff in my house. Today's woke generation is saying that their sin is what they identify with. And so if you say, don't bring that sin in my house, they will pervert that and say, you're telling them not to come in your house. It's perversion. You are not identified by your sin, LGBTQ community. And so if you can't visit a Christian loved one and leave that perversion outside the door, you're going to be the one at loss.
Amen.
Johnny?
It is fascinating seeing that, because we, unfortunately, we've seen a show or a movie or two, of course, where they have sodomites, and it's interesting how they seem to have to define them by that sin. They can't.
But they all do.
They often can't be have anything else to find them other than
that's that sin, that culture, community, or whatever. They all identify themselves. That's what the pronoun thing is all about.
Yeah. When they don't, I think I saw maybe two shows where they had the sodomite, but they also had them defined by other things, and so it was easier to ignore it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how that works.
But the thing to remind yourself of as you're making these decisions that will cost you. Jesus said if you're going to be His disciple, you have to count the cost.
Yeah.
But remember, God will reward you in this and the next life. So what matters most to you? That's how you can tell the heart of a lot of Christians, because it's all their marbles are in this life and they're not thinking about the next life. Listen, folks, there's something wrong with you as a Christian if you don't take that next life seriously, and even more seriously than you do this one. If there are things that you know you're going to sacrifice here, but you're like, but I know I'm going to benefit. Well, if you don't have that confidence and that reality in your mind, it's all going to be what you can get here in the here and now. You're going to act just like the unsaved people. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God is a rewarder. That's, you have to. Now, you don't do things in order to get the reward, but you do things knowing that God will reward you.
Amen.
I mean, that seems like I might be splitting hairs there, but it's a very important differentiation for you to make in your mind. Don't be motivated by getting anything. You should be motivated by pleasing the Lord and glorifying Him, the Lord. But if you do, you know He will reward you. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
Now don't cut that. I hear people quote that all the time, and they'll say, He is a rewarder, and they stop. It's very specific. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
Does that describe you and your walk with the Lord, your personal relationship? Are you diligently seeking the Lord? Every day of your life, is that a priority? If not, that's not you. Every day of your life, I don't care what your job is or what you do, whether it comes with pay or not. if you do that thing, that job, that task, or whatever, in a way that you want to please the Lord and glorify the Lord. You say, well, I'm a janitor. How do I do that? You do that janitorial work, or what do they call them now?
Custodial work?
Yeah, they call them something managers. Yeah, maintenance managers or whatever. Yeah, you know how they always try to come up with a fancy schmancy name. For you. I don't even think they call them garbage men anymore. You know, they call them something else. Waste management.
Sanitation
engineers, yeah. But no matter what your job is, if you're doing that so that you know the Lord is pleased, He's your boss. You have a human boss, but let me tell you, if you're pleasing your real boss in heaven, then that guy or gal should be pleased with you, and if not, they've got a problem. And you do that so that people might even ask you, why do you work the way you do? You know, you don't really have to work that hard. Who are you trying to impress? Oh, glad you asked. The Lord is my boss. My boss is a Jewish carpenter. That's what my old bumper sticker on my igloo cooler for lunch used to say. People would ask me all the time. I loved it. Jew, what? What do you mean? They were thinking of the boss there. He's not a Jew. He's not a carpenter. Now you don't understand. My boss is Jesus and opens the door for conversation.
Amen.
That's how you're glorifying the Lord, pleasing Him. But you bring glory to Him because you are opening up conversations. Why do you work that hard? Again, Scripture with Scripture. He is a rewarder. You can't outgive God. Amen? Say that with me. You can't outgive God. Remember that. Luke 6:38, just back a few pages from where we're at. Luke 6:38. And I want to say this. We're not going to get off on a tangent here, but I'll just say this. A lot of Christians, because we're not under Mosaic law, say they don't have to tithe. You know what? I'll agree with that because you should be given more than
10%.
Amen. Amen. And we're not just talking about cash. But your cash, your time, your energy, and
prayers,
everything you can do. You should just be spending yourself as much as possible. And look what it says, verse 38. If you're there, read it. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Amen.
Amen.
I can tell you, been serving the Lord for 30 years. And you'll have to wait to the judgment seat to find out how giving I've been. I'm not going to stand up here and toot, toot, you know, my own horn. But I want to tell you this. I've never gone without.
Amen.
And I've been in some situations where I doubted and I thought, oh, Lord, what's going on here? And then, bam! He comes through. And there have been times where it was literally pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. I learned a lesson. I told this story to most of you, but I got to tell it again. I mean, I was a very young Christian. You don't know what this did. I mean, it was amazing. I had a couple of knockoff suit jackets that I would mix and match with other pants, and I had some cheap ties. And I looked pretty raggedy a lot of time. I mean, when I'd go preach in some places, you know, everybody would be dressed better than the preacher, you know what I mean? And now looking back, you know, I'm just thinking, why didn't any of those people in the churches say, well, if we want our preachers to look good, then we should provide some clothes and everything? But they never did. And but I'll tell you, you know who did? An atheist. And it was an amazing thing. He called me into his office. He had no idea what I looked like when I preached. He'd never come to hear me preach. We had a lot of good conversations. And he calls me into his office and he says, I can't explain why. I guess you're going to say it's probably God. But I've got these suits that I can't wear anymore. Each one of them was at least a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah. Amen.
Had more than I could fit in my closet. Wow. I want you to come over to my house Saturday. Got to his house. It's like this, you know, $500,000 house. And this is back when houses at $500,000 are probably now $1.5 million. So I pull in. I'm walking. I'm kind of intimidated. You know, I go in there. Hey, come on in. Takes me upstairs. Opens his closet. Look at all these. Take whatever you want. I was like, you mean all of them? If you want them all, take them all. Can I sit down? I just sat down and looked. I'm like, you kidding me? No, if you don't take them, I'm just going to find somebody else to give them to. So we start loading those things, put them in my broken down Ford Escort, drove them home. Man, I started dressing the way people wanted me to dress. I looked like one of the crowd. And that just blew me away.
Amen.
But it wasn't because I had faith. And I confessed with my mouth. And, you know, nothing like that. I had no faith that I was going to get anything like that. But I just did pray, Lord, I'll dress however you want me to dress. If that's how you want me to dress, those two suits there, that's what I'll wear. God had other things in mind.
Amen.
I'm not telling you to like tempt God. Don't create issues and problems. Don't spin like you don't have any sense and then expect God to come behind you and clean up your mess. But if you're a good steward and you have a right heart, God will provide.
Amen.
He's a rewarder. But He gives in the same measure you do. Back then, I had very little money. But, you know, kind of like the widow's mite. You know, I gave what I was supposed to. What I felt the Lord would have me to give. It was always more than 10%, but it wasn't much because I didn't make much. But it was. And He said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake. And I think that's the biggest challenge when you're living in a country like the United States of America where we have so much prosperity.
Amen.
Is to think in terms of the kingdom of God first. That's really difficult. And of course, if you surround yourself with the typical American, and that includes Christians, they don't have that mentality. And it kind of rubs off. So this promise is not made to the greedy, stingy, or selfish. If you're that kind of person that just lives your life thinking, me, 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 and not looking around for opportunities. Not looking for people who might need ministered to. Then you're not going to receive this. We would do well to heed Paul's parting message to the church at Ephesus. But it's in the book of Acts. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, Paul is bidding them adieu. Verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they'd come to him, he said unto them, etc., etc. He's speaking, and I have you picking up there in verse 32. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. A what? So you're talking about inheriting eternal life? An inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That's referring to Christians. Verse 33, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Verse 34, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. And read verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Those words. It is more blessed. Do you believe Jesus? How many of you don't believe the words of Jesus? I hope so. And he says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Do you believe that? I think I'm talking to a bunch of people who have at one point or another experienced it. So you know it's true. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Yeah. And that really, that's the attitude, is you just want to please the Lord. So then when you get reward, it's kind of a shock. Because you're just doing what you're supposed to be doing. The thing to do is to grow spiritually to the point that it just is that natural. It's like breathing. And you see something, you see somebody in need. You don't... Now, of course, you use wisdom. There are some people who are just going to take advantage, and you try to use wisdom and give them things that they won't go and hurt themselves with. How many of you know people who have been given money and things and they just go destroy their lives when they get it? So you don't want to do that. But you want to give them in the way God would give them. And God doesn't do that. He doesn't give people things and do things that will turn around and hurt them. But He does try to, in His wisdom, He does use perfect wisdom in doing so. So your giving is a heart check. When you give and it is like natural, and you give because you know the Lord is pleased, and you give with wisdom, and you give not wanting everybody to toot your horn and put your name in lights and all that. When your giving is based on the biblical principles of giving, then that's a way to know your heart. It's also a way to know your heart if you're greedy. If you're not a giving person, if you don't look for opportunities, that's another heart check. And that's something no one in here can actually help you with. That's something you and God know. Look at Luke again, back in Luke 12. We're going to close it up. But I want to read this. Luke 12, 31 to 34. Again, Jesus is just telling like it is. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Read verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's the heart check. So you're just going to close with this thought. How committed are you? And again, this is only something you and God know. But how committed are you? How seriously are you committed to trying to spend... God has given you a certain amount of good health, a certain number of years, and only He knows, certain amount of wealth, a certain amount of skill. Whatever it is God has given you, He's not asking you to do something you can't do. He is asking you to take what He has given you and spend it on Him. How committed are you to that? The question is, have you surrendered all to the Lord? We sing it, and we're going to sing it in a minute. But it's really a shame how many Christians have sung the song, I surrender all. When I think most of us would be more honest most of the time to sing, I surrender some. I surrender as little as possible. Some to Thee, my precious Savior. Well, we're not going to sing those words, but we're going to sing the right words. Page 394 in your hymn book. But as the musicians come, you get your hymn book open. I just want you to be challenged with what we read and what we're going to sing. Have you surrendered all? Are you willing to do whatever it is He's calling you to do, whatever He's led you to do, whatever opportunities He's given you and abilities and skills? You handed it over to the Lord and used it for Him. One of the preachers I listened to this week, he was talking about how that he knew one particular fellow that had a voice, just a beautiful singing voice. He got saved later in life. And by the time he got saved, he had ruined his voice. So then he spent the rest of his Christian life with the regret that he had never used that voice for the Lord. Now, it doesn't do any good to allow that to hinder you. Now you lost your voice, or you lost whatever that skill was before you were saved, or even as a Christian, maybe you haven't used it for the Lord. But now, this is where you can do something. Now. And you can say, I have this ability, I have this skill, I have this gift, whatever it is. And you can say, I am going to find a way. Lord, open the doors. Lord, open the opportunities. I am going to use this for You. There have been guys who code. And they can't quit their job. I mean, they still have a responsibility to work and pay the bills. But then they turn around and use that skill for the Lord. People who we've had it around here, people who can do things maintenance-wise and use it for the church ministry. If you don't think that counts, you don't know God very well. Go back and read in Exodus where He gave the craftsmen skill. Spirit-filled craftsmen building the tabernacle. So, things for you to think about as we sing. Go ahead and stand if you can.